This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vasquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 365, a podcast that puts it all together, that brings it all together, between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional. In fact, we look at the very fabric of our being through the most ancient of all spiritual lenses, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armadoxy look is yours for the taking. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Hey, how are you doing? Hope you're doing good. Are you ready to rumble? You ready to move and shake? Or at least take the next step. I am recording from Epostle East in the Pasadena studio because I needed to get out. I needed to kind of take a look. So yes, this is the studio with a little echo in it and a little different microphone arrangement. You could feel it, right? You could tell my voice is a little bit different. There's like that, like you're in this giant room, stadium kind of quality, right? Well, anyway, it is just me right now in the studio. Susie's coming in a little bit, and Ken just got me started. He pressed the start button, and then he left out. I don't know what he's doing outside. I don't really care right now. I needed to kind of get out and just experiment a little bit with life outside of the mall. That's what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going stir crazy. Would you believe it? You know, in the Armenian alphabet, there is 36 letters that Mesrop Mashtots invented back in the 5th century. Later on, they added two extra letters, the O and the F sound. That is the O, a vowel, and the F sound. And if you think about it, you know, why did they add these? I mean, one of the most endearing expressions of disgust is off. We say that off. Well, how could you possibly write this if we didn't have those letters?
Off, but on top, baby.
Exactly, off, man. And that's what I'm like feeling this past couple weeks. We are in a mall, day in and day out. I'm going to tell you about that and kind of tell you about the stir craziness, a priest in a mall, what's going on. Hey, I had a chance to see Anush Opera this past week. Have to tell you, it was, well, it was just so moving. And I want to share that a little bit about that with you. Got some great music coming up. And just all around, we have a great show. So sit back, relax right now. I don't know what kind of day it is by you. Right now, it's very overcast. There's a little drizzle here in Southern California. Kind of makes a nice day for just sitting by your speakers, right? I was going to say by the radio, by your speakers. Unless your speakers are in your ear, then they're already there, right? I have my tea with me. I have some great Ararat tea. I don't know where this came from. It was in the cupboard. I opened up this morning. So somebody in the family has ordered this. It's Ararat tea. It's got a lot of Russian writing on it. and I cracked open a bag, and I'm sipping on it, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Well, why not? It's got a great name like that. Why not? So sit back, relax right now, whether you have tea, coffee, whether you just want to have a little noise to fill in the background of your life, or you want to really get into it, whatever the case may be. I'm glad you're here right now. Hey, I want to start off with a few things that happened over the week. Very exciting things. Last Friday, as I told you, I was going to be in Fresno, and it was a really, really cool evening. We got a chance to talk about the canonization of the saints. As you know, the Armenian Church, after a long silence of 500-600 years of not canonizing anybody, not any fault of their own, of course, finally canonized a group of individuals known as the Martyrs of the Great Genocide, 1915. And this is on the 100th anniversary. And I had a chance to go up to Fresno with a dear friend, Mashtots Jobanyan, and we gave a lecture in harmony, right? He spoke in Armenian, I spoke in English. And it was around the process and the mystery of the canonization of the saints. And it was fascinating because we had a chance to bounce off a lot of ideas. By the way, Fresno, another word that needs the F and the O, the F and the O. So it's a good thing that those two letters were added also, not only to say off, but to also say Fresno. Fresno is about a 3 or 4 hour drive from Los Angeles, so we had a chance to talk on the way, kind of compare notes and really be in sync, although most of our talk was really just kind of like bouncing off different ideas. But I wanted to share a little bit of the message that came out of this meeting and the message that I had about the mystery. Mashtots, my friend, spoke about the process of canonization, whereas I focused in more on the mystery of the saints and what is sainthood. And I thought this would be an appropriate way to really kind of lead into what we're going to be talking about today on the next step. A group of people, a large group, were canonized by the Armenian Church. And we spoke about this in the past, and we spoke about it as the 100th anniversary coming up. But what does it mean? What's the impact for us today? Is it just something that you say, okay, here's a group of people, but what does it mean to you today? What does it mean to you and me as individuals, as Christians today, as people today? And certainly this is exactly what the premise of Armadoxy is all about, right? That it has to have some meaning. It's not just some kind of ritual that you go through. It's not just that we list off a bunch of saints out there, but or people that have lives that are disconnected with us, but what do they mean? So here's a couple conclusions that I came with in preparing for the talk, and I'm sure these are going to be discussed among church leadership, and then the next few years, this will all start melding into some kind of basic formula. And the reason why I say this is, think about Vartanants, and I've shared with you. By the way, we are all at different levels, aren't we? We're like crawling, there's people that are walking, there are people running, and it's very difficult when I do this podcast. I realize that we're at different levels. There's people that have been on the podcast for many years, people that are just joining us right now. I always run into people, hey, that's great, but what did you mean about this and everything? Let me tell you, we have this incredible archive. This incredible archive, and you can find all of the podcasts. And so I'm going to refer to Vartanants right now, and I will make a note right now to make sure that Susie puts something on the show notes so that we can point you to a real good Vartanants podcast. Because Vartanants is an interesting war. I don't think there's anybody else who does this. We actually celebrate a loss. Wild, huh? We celebrate a loss. And it's a war that Armenians lost, and we celebrate it. So why? So think about the Vartanants experience. There's a number of saints that were canonized. I believe the number is 1,036 or 1,056, something like that. Let's say over 1,000 saints that make up the Vartanian group. Okay, there's a group of saints that are commemorated in February. Now this commemoration of saints. Now you got to remember, we're distanced from that group by about 1,700 years, 1,600 plus years. Okay, And we commemorate Vartanants. We look at it and we say, wow, you know, this is a great act of heroism. They were able, there was a moral victory, and we celebrate that moral victory and put aside the physical loss. I think if you were to look 100 years after Vartanants, the battle took place in 451. If you were to look 100 years later, there's probably a lot of questions about who were these people, what did they do, what was the purpose, as there are today. Many people are questioning, okay, how can you canonize people who may not have been baptized? How can you canonize people who may not have been faithful, who may have, you know, just even swore against God, you know, and now you're making them saints? And I think that over the years, what's going to happen, which will definitely happen, this will crystallize and become more of, will have more of a mythic flavor. And I'm using that word very cautiously. I want you to understand, people who know what we're talking about over here understand where I'm at, but I'm very cautious because people all of a sudden equate myth with something fictitious. No, it's not a legend. It's not fictitious. No, but the idea of a myth, the mythic quality, is that there is a meaning, there is substance to it. Okay, there is an act that took place. 1.5 million people were slaughtered, massacred, part of a systematic program of annihilation, part of genocide. 100 years later, their descendants designate them as saints. What does that mean to us today? That's the question, okay? And in that, there is a myth there that has a meaning for us. It has a meaning for us. It's not to say the event didn't happen. It means that there is a meaningful event that's taking place right now that is connected with the facts that took place 100 years ago. And that meaning is that we have arrived at a different place of not understanding ourselves. And I said this in my lecture very clearly. I think that of all the things that took place over the 100th anniversary, all of the events that took place, including those massive demonstrations of solidarity, including Kim Kardashian going out to Armenia, including movies that were made, different speeches that were given. I think one of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing, that took place on the 100th anniversary was the canonization of the saints. And this is why. Because it tells a story of who we are right now. It says that we are no longer victims. You see, a saint is not a victim. It's not a question about you don't do hokeyankis, you don't do requiem service for saints. Why? Because they've already achieved that status of being with God. This is just a misunderstanding on the part of people, a misunderstanding that is fueled by the inability of the church to articulate this. That somehow you go in there and you request a requiem service and that changes the status of somebody who's died. Again, the guy is tormented in hell, and you pay a few bucks and you have his name listed in a list of people in front of the altar, and then somehow God swoops down into hell and pulls him out because of your goodness of paying $10, $15, $25, maybe $100 for a service. I mean, there's people who think this. It's absurd, right? I know you're laughing at it, okay? It's absurd. But there are people who believe this. And it's our inability of communicating that this is an absurd idea that is fueling the fire, so to speak. No. When we elevate these people to sainthood, what's happening? Yes, they are crowned. The ultimate saints are in the eyes of God. But this is what I'm saying. 100 years later, we are making a statement. The canonization, the mystery, the canonization process is about us no longer wanting to be victimized. And you can look at any group of people that are considered victims. Let's look at some of the most obvious people who are involved in domestic violence, in domestic abuse, right? You know the victimization process. You stay victimized. There's a comfort level in being the victim. Anybody, forget about the extreme measures. I mean, think about country music. Think about depressing songs, right? When you are down, you like to stay down. You will play some depressing music. You'll go and find that Neil Young album, and you'll play it, and you want to go down, right? Why is it that these superstars are so famous? It's not for their happy birthday to you songs. It's for these real downers. Like, let's keep you down. Let's go down. Victimization. It feeds off of this energy that it's, you know, it's like it's a cool place to be down there, you know? And this is why I say this is the greatest thing that the Armenian church did. It elevated these people to victors as saints. And what it does is it changes our mindset. We are no longer going to be victimized. I've shared this with you a million times, if not a million and one times. I don't need anybody to validate the genocide. This whole thing about recognition is really an exercise in futility. The people that we want to recognize the genocide aren't worth a hill of beans. They're not. If somebody got up and denies the truth, why would I want that person to recognize it in the first place? This is a truth. It's like saying, okay, hey, I'm driving a Volkswagen car, and some guy comes up to me and says, no, you're driving a Buick. Okay, you look at the markings on it. There's a Volkswagen. There's a VW symbol on there. You look at the key, and then you look at the registration, and you know it's a Volkswagen, right? I'm driving a Volkswagen, but he's insisting it's a Buick. What does that tell you? Does that tell you anything about your reality? It tells you that the guy across from you is stupid. It tells you he's an idiot. Right? Now, do you want that guy? Do you want that guy to join your ranks? Think about that for a moment. And this is all we do. We keep going up to people and saying, hey, please recognize a reality. It's a Volkswagen. And you're telling me it's a Buick? Okay, then you need to go into a different line. You need to find a better solution for yourself, not for me. Because we are beyond it. And this is why I'm telling you, one of the greatest things that we did is we canonized the saints. On the 100th anniversary, to me, that is the way to look at the genocide. It's to say that, you know, you lost. You lost. We lost 1.5 million people, but you lost because the war is in our favor. We are the victors. As Christ says, courage, the victory is mine. I have overcome the world. Can we overcome that? I think we have in many, many ways. Is it a panacea? Are we in a perfect? Are we in a utopian society? No, it's a lot of problems and life goes on. But we ourselves are feeling better. And this is the conversation that we're having. I'm going to share with you in a few minutes when we come back in the second portion of mall life and what the conversations are in mall life and how we keep our sanity over there. So I'll be back in a couple minutes with that. But these are ideas that we kicked around. Fresno gave us the first platform to talk about it. And I'm going to be writing about it a little bit more, especially about the transformative process and what's involved in that mystery. And I hope you'll listen in, you'll read some of this, and I'd love to hear some of your comments. Anyway, we are going to take a break right now. We're going to go with the song of the day. I thought I'd pick out something that we left off many, many moons ago. Okay, this is Melanie Cordian. Happened to fumble across her music the other day, and I said, whoa, I haven't been in touch with her for a while. I hope you enjoy this song.
Time anyway. have a little heart in the palm of your hands. This is just the start, only just the start of everything we plan. I could talk forever on the telephone, but I'm all alone. I want the hot breath of conversation, but again, I'm on my own. So have a little heart. Have a little heart. Have a little heart for me.
Okay, I know you figured it out. I have a little heart, right? By Melanie Cardin. Oh, it's just the atmosphere right now. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll put a link on the show notes today to make sure you check out not only that song, but all of her wonderful music. Melanie's been a great friend of this ministry through the years, and just always enjoy listening to her. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Got me taking a sip of my tea. I'm still sipping on that Arara tea. It is cool. It's really good stuff. Anyway, we've been hanging out at the mall. As you know, we did a program called The 100-Year Journey, and this was a art installation, a portal, which we're calling it, is so that when you walk into it, you're kind of transported into a different, not only a time, but also a different dimension, a different space reality. And I know it sounds kind of mystical, eclectic. What are we talking about over there? Are we in Star Wars? No. This is just a very simple way of saying that it's not just about, it's not black and white. When we talk about pains in the world, when we talk about tragedies in the world, and certainly some of the big ones that we're seeing unfold in front of us, like the Nepal earthquake. And I bring this up because, you know, we're so quick to forget about these things. And when we talk about 100 years ago that, you know, a genocide took place, of course, no one wants to think about it. No one wants to talk about it. So what we did is we created a portal. And this portal is really a means by which you can go into it and be transported into a different reality, space-time. And so when you look around, you really feel like you're somewhere else. And I think we succeeded in doing that in April at the Zorayan Museum. I think the surrounding, the environment was just fantastic. But the people at the Burbank, the Zorayan Museum, part of the Western Diocese, is in the city of Burbank, California. And they approached us and they asked if we would consider having a second life for this portal at the Burbank Mall. And this is a shopping mall. And we immediately said, yeah, what a great opportunity for people to see it. Little did we realize that what they were proposing to us is they actually gave us a whole store. And I'm really happy. They said it was about a month, and we just found out yesterday, if you saw on our Facebook posting, that they've extended it for an extra week. So we're going to be there until June 14th. But let me tell you about mall life. Did you ever see the movie Dawn of the Dead? Okay, now you got to remember this movie's, I think, 1970s. Okay, let me give you a little quick history on Dawn of the Dead. It's like when, let me tell you, it's a zombie movie, okay? It's a zombie movie, and one that I saw when I was a kid, when I was like in my teen years. And I made the big, big, big old mistake of taking my little brother and sister to this zombie flick. Because I thought, wow, you know, they're just chopping off heads and you got to put a bullet through the guy's head and boof. I don't know where my head was at. Yeah, yeah, you know, you're getting a confession of Father Voskin pre-peace days. No, we were into peace back then. But this incredible zombie flick came out, Dawn of the Dead, and I took my little sister and my little brother to it. Ah, when I got home, did I get it from my grandmother? Oh, my brother and sister told her what they saw on the screen. And she said, how could you do that, my grandmother? In my head, I remember my grandmother taking a broom to me, but I know no such thing happened, but she was mad. Maybe that's what I was. It was the visualization on her madness that I imagined with it. But many years later, I got married was one of our first after marriage dates, because we were married in September and, in July. And in September, I believe it was in September that we went and saw this. Because it was Susan's birthday. It was what a birthday gift, right? But listen, this is what happened. There was a midnight showing. We were living in Cupertino, and I'll never forget. It must have been a month, 2 months after we got married, and I'm seeing this ad that there's a midnight showing of Dawn of the Dead. And I said, oh, Susan, you got to see this. You got to see this. This is such a great flick. And by that time, it had become a cult classic. So, you know, at midnight, you'd see all these cult people out there, and they're at the theater. So take my wife, my new bride of 1 or 2 months, to this theater. And we get to the theater at midnight, and we're watching Dawn of the Dead. And I am, like, just busting up on the floor, literally, at these images that you're seeing in this movie. And my poor wife's looking at me like, did I marry this guy? Did I marry this guy who's getting off on seeing these people get their heads blown off and everything? So, it felt good to tell you that story. Because I've been sitting at a mall, and the premise of Dawn of the Dead, why did I tell you that? The premise of Dawn of the Dead is, if you haven't seen this movie, I highly recommend you see it, because there is, believe it or not, beyond all the graphic details that I just went through, there is a storyline to it, and that these people, there wasn't enough room in hell, so people were coming back to life. And where were they congregating? They were congregating at the mall, because the mall was a way of life for them. Now, that being said, I'm going to make the connection. I know you're saying, what did this guy just talk about? Here's the connection. You sit in that mall, and there's a zombification process that overcomes you, because you just see people going in and out, walking in circles. We actually meet people who come around daily. They walk in circles around the mall. People are just looking, and it's an interesting idea. The shops are all around you, and you're walking through this marketplace built on 3 levels. And, you know, you have your choice of picking and looking around. So you're not maybe sure of what you're buying. People are there just for the sake of being there. And then they pop into your store. And our store happens to be the 100-Year Journey. So all of a sudden, in the middle of all of this merchandising, of all of these clothing outlets, these sporting outlets, these merchandise in general outlets, I mean, we're right next to the Sears store, right next to the timepiece company, a Hallmark card company, and there we are, the 100-year journey. People are coming by and saying, oh, hey, what is this? And they'll come in, you know, and some of them will get it. But this is what I did find out. We're taking turns being there, and I'm not, you know, I'm there for a few hours during the week. A couple times we get there. Susan's been going with me. Greg's taken on. We have a few people that come out and hang too, you know. And so what I discovered were a few things. First of all, genocide. That word genocide, we take for granted. Not everybody understands that. Not everybody has heard of it. So for a lot of people, when we talk about the 100-year journey, it's like, from where? And I found myself tailoring it to the customer. So when you're talking about the 100-year journey, you're talking also not about genocide, but maybe talking about displacement because of war. And if you've seen the 100-year journey, what we've created, we've done this art installation around this wool blanket that has now been transformed into a woolen cross. I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. I just realized that we just go through so much stuff within a week, from Fresno to the malls to church life to sainthood. So it gets a little bit overwhelming. I know if you're listening for the first time, you say, where is this guy going? Didn't he just talk about Fresno, about saints, and now zombies, and what's going on? So really, trust me, I'm a little bit more stable than what it comes out across in this podcast. But basically, when you go into the 100-year journey, you're confronted with this reality that beyond this negativity, there is an opportunity to celebrate. And this is where it connects with the sainthood too, right? That victory. And that's what 100-year journey is all about. So we are sitting in the mall dealing with this zombification process inside and outside. And beautifully up on each one of the pieces inside the 100-year journey, it is an art installation. So there are a lot of art pieces throughout this store. And I don't use the word portal anymore because it just lost that portal feel. So it's more like an art gallery when you walk in right now. On each of the pieces, there is a small little writing. Now, one of the pieces, and I've done each of the writings are mine, and Greg Baylarian is the artist. He's done the images. So together, it's a collaboration. And yesterday we had somebody who came in and was just entranced by this piece called The Flow. And I'm looking at it and I couldn't remember what I had written about it. And I looked at it and I read the description that I had written because she wanted a little bit more information. And in it, I quoted Saint Nectarios. Saint Nectarios has a beautiful, beautiful statement. He says, "Seek not God's kingdom outside of you, but within you. Seek not God's kingdom outside of you, but within you." And I thought about this in the context of where we were sitting too. I mean, certainly when you think about the installation, when you think about portal, when you think about the idea of victory, are we seeking it outside of ourselves or do we seek it inside of us? God's kingdom. Do we seek it inside of us or just outside? Do we think it's something outside? It's something that's going to happen. And the saint really pushes us to look within, to look at the power within. I mean, think about this for a moment. You know, when you go to church, the celebrant priest in the divine liturgy is Christ. Yeah. Now, you see Christ up there. Do you see him? Well, not. No, most of us see somebody up there. We see a person. And if we know the character flaws of the person, it's very tempting to say, oh, that person, how dare he call himself Christ? But think about what Christ says. What does Christ say? He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you see Christ up there? Do you see God up at the altar? It's not about who he is up there. It's about who you are. Are you pure at heart? Are you pure enough to accept that there is this transformation taking place in front of you? And it's in the same way. You come into the mall and you experience the zombification. But who are you at that point? Where is the kingdom in your life? You could look around and you see the zombies walking around, you know, and they're coming around and they're looking at you. They're looking at you through the cage and the grids. What are you reflecting? And these are questions that we're dealing with because there is a real reality. We're sitting in this marketplace right now and we're not accustomed to that. It's a question of being accustomed to it too. And that's why I really needed to get out. There is artificial light, artificial air in many senses. There is no windows inside the mall. So it's a very different reality, one that has prompted us to start thinking about these kind of concepts. And I wanted to share it with you. These are all things that we reflect on while we are in the mall. And there's only one more week left of it, but I wanted to share that with you as we transition now. I want to share with you something beautiful that I experienced over this weekend. Something beautiful, Anush Opera. Oh, we saw it here in Pasadena, yes. The Lark Musical Society. I will definitely put a link on today's show notes. If you're on Facebook, check out their Facebook page as well. Lark, yes, like the bird, Lark. L-A-R-K, Musical Society, has been putting together 100 different shows over the centennial year. And one of them is the celebration of the Anush Opera. It was spectacular. They did 4 shows. And when you think about it, here in the diaspora, to be able to pull off something of this caliber in itself is a feat. Last night I had a chance to meet with one of the performers, and she was telling me that, you know, she was somebody who has come from Armenia. She was just incredibly impressed by how the diaspora had come together to pull off something of this magnitude. And it was of that magnitude. We was at the Ambassador Auditorium. And this is what, let me share with you something personal that happened at the very beginning of the show and then go into the show itself. Anush Opera is based on a poem that was written by Hovhannes Tumanyan. And Tumanyan talks about the concepts of shame, one which in the Armenian language is called amot, and how that shame can lead to tragedy when we start living out those expectations, when we start thinking about what other people are thinking of us, watching me, watching you, watching me. You know, it's like, what happens to life when we fill it with superstitions that lead to emptiness. And it was fascinating. There were so many concepts that came out. This is my third time seeing Anush Opera in the past year. I had a wonderful chance over the past year in 2014 seeing it twice in Armenia. And then this week we saw it here in Pasadena. But Anush Opera in itself is just something that everybody needs to experience once. And I understand, too, that this is a personal reflection. There are other people that just look at it and say, what? That's not an opera. That's just a stage presentation. Or other people will just look at it and say, oh, that's nice. Very good. And I've ran the gamut because, you know, it's one of my personal favorites. But here's something personal that happened at the very beginning. Where it was taking place was at the Ambassador Auditorium, which is used as a church on Sunday mornings by Rock Christian Church. Rock as in the stone, rock. The pastor came out before the opera, and he welcomed everybody. And he said, thank you for coming. And tonight you're going to enjoy Honor Chopra. And he says, I'd just like to let you know that this is a church. And we use it as a church Sunday mornings. And you are welcome to come. Which is a normal expectation, right? We are in his home. We have rented it. We're coming there to watch a show. It probably was part of the contract that he got had a few moments to come out and make this pitch. But here's the interesting thing. He went ahead and he said, I invite you to come Sunday morning to this church where you will have an experience, because what we do at this church is we praise Jesus Christ. You had everybody applauding. Now, there's many ways you can take this, but one of the things that I wanted to comment on was the boldness with which he said it. And it's one that I wish that within the ethnic churches, we can have that boldness too. To be able to stand in front of people and saying, hey, this is what we believe. You know, you are here. You're welcome to enjoy your program. There, you've rented this facility and everything, but this is why we are here. The function, the raison d'être, the reason for our existence is for the praise of Christ. Christ is the center, Jesus Christ. And it's just an interesting little sidebar that I wanted to put out there. To the Honor Chopra, we had a chance to see it, and I have to tell you, they performed it in its entirety with a full orchestra, with full choral arrangements, and beautiful, beautiful voices. I really want to commend the Lark Musical Society, and I want to really get you to check in on their activities. Like I said, I'll put a link on their show notes. Do check out all the wonderful stuff that they do. And here's Susie to tell you about the wonderful stuff that we're doing. Yeah, nice segue.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
I can't believe it's going to be 8 years. We're going to be starting our 8th year of broadcasting. We started this program back in 2008, so this is, the 7th year, our 7th anniversary, but we are starting our 8th year of broadcasting. And it has been a really wild ride. Something we never expected. But I want to thank you for all your support, for all your prayers, and continuing this ministry. You're going to see some changes, actually, in the 8th year. We're planning on some differences, especially the prominence of apostle. It's the underlying ministry, basically apostolic evangelism. What does it mean to get the apostles' work out there in an electronic form, in an electronic word, which In His Shoes is part of, Armadoxy is part of. And so we're putting this all together. In the next few weeks, you'll be hearing more about it as we launch our 8th year of broadcasting. But I want to thank you for your support and all the wonderful things you say about us. I really appreciate it, especially when you get out there and you share our page, when you share the links with your friends. I think just about every week we get somebody new who comes up and says, wow, I didn't know you guys existed. Thank you very much for your broadcasting. But along with those nice words that people say, it'd be nice to get a little bit of a donation too. And so we take this opportunity at the end of our show to just remind you that all of this is done and is made possible through your kindness. We don't sell any of our programming. We've thought about it, but we make it. We put it out there. And so far it's been working. So we thank you, and we encourage you to be generous in your donating. That brings us to to the end of this week's show. I know June has started and means graduations. Father's Day coming up in a few weeks. I want to congratulate all of our graduates that we have. Love to do shout outs. If you feel like sharing one of your graduate stories with us, I'd love to do a shout out. Always ready to do that. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us today and remind you that all of our programming is up on the net. You just need to do a little search, usually at apostle.net, inhisshoes.org. It's the mothership. Inhisshoes.org has all of our next steps. Now it's starting to get populated. I know iTunes has it. We're just all over the place, okay? And I'll go through that probably in the next few weeks as we start formalizing all of this work and putting it into order. I know I keep promising that it'll happen, okay? It'll happen. God gives us a lot of things. He also gives us patience. He hasn't given me too much of it, but what he has given, I try to use. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining us today. Do check us out on Facebook as well. You can follow any one of us. But for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, who came in somewhere in the mix, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out!